A teacher was teaching her elementary school students about magnets. And she was asking the question after she had emphasized so much that magnets draw things and they pick things up. And she said to them, "I am something that picks things up. What am I? I start with the letter M." And they all yelled, "Mother!"
Napoleon Bonaparte once said, "The future destiny of the child is always the work of the mother." Hi, I'm Dave Dino. Welcome to The Tide. God has given mothers a very special role to play in the family and in each child's heart. Children throughout the world turn primarily to their mothers for love, nurture, and understanding. How a mother responds can influence her children and grandchildren for generations to come. Today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger turns to the Old Testament for a biblical role model for mothers. Now, before we begin, let's join Dwayne for a few opening comments. Dwayne, undoubtedly fathers can have a very big influence in their children's lives, but it's also been said that behind every great man stands a woman. Both in our society and in Scripture, it seems pretty clear that mothers play a very prominent role in shaping their children's lives. Do you think God intends for a mother to have greater influence than a father?
Dave, I'm not sure I want to answer that question. That sounds like a dangerous place to go. Let me say it this way. I think each, the mother and the father, has a very significant role to fill that leads to the wholeness of a child. I don't want to go into emphasizing that one has a particular more important role than another. I think both are important. And when one is absent in that child's life, there is a deficit that remains.
Some mothers of small children are overwhelmed by the thought that they hold the keys to their children's future. And then when their children become teenagers, they often feel like they failed. What advice would you offer to mothers who are feeling insecure and unconfident and are perhaps intimidated by the expectations of motherhood?
My heart goes out to mothers. They do carry an incredible load, and unfortunately often the father is the absent father. He gets buried in work. He gets lost in his hobbies. Leaving mother to be responsible to take care of all the home, all the children, the finances. And my heart, as I said, goes out to moms. As far as the advice that I would give to mothers is obviously to find your strength in the Lord, to lift up your head and know that God will enable you to accomplish what He has for you to do. I would also recommend that mothers get involved in support groups within their church. We need each other. The body of Christ needs the encouragement and the support of brothers and sisters. And so mothers, I would encourage you to get involved in a mom's group, a ladies' Bible study where you can share your burdens together, pray for each other, lift each other up, find encouragement in the Word.
Doubts and uncertainties, they may be common, but they can be overcome by determination and the help of a good role model. So let's join Dwayne now in his special Message for Mothers.
A little girl was being shown pictures of her mom and dad on their wedding day. And the little girl said to her father, "Oh, Daddy, is that the day we got Mommy to come and work for us?" Oh, yikes, yikes. Well, you know, moms are really, really, really special. Let's see if this is something how it goes at your house. Mom and dad were watching television, and mom said, "I'm tired. It's getting late. I think I'm going to go to bed." So she went to the kitchen to make sandwiches for next day's lunches. She rinsed out the popcorn bowl. She took meat out of the freezer for supper the next evening. She checked the cereal box levels to see how full they were. She filled the sugar container. She put spoons and bowls out on the table to start, get ready for the breakfast the next morning. She put coffee in the coffee pot that was set ready to go in the morning. Then she put some wet towels into the dryer. She put a load of clothes into the wash. She ironed a shirt and secured a button that was loose. She picked up the newspaper that was on the floor. She picked up some game pieces left on the table.
She put the telephone book back in the drawer. She watered the plants, emptied a wastebasket, and hung up a towel to dry. She yawned and stretched and headed for the bedroom. On the way, she stopped at the desk and wrote a note to the teacher. She counted out some cash for the field trip that was the next day. She pulled a textbook out from hiding under a chair and put it there beside her child's book bag. She signed a birthday card for a friend. She addressed and stamped an envelope and wrote a quick note about the grocery store that she wanted to go to the next day. And she put both of those in her purse. Then she went to the bathroom and she creamed her face. She put on some moisturizer. She brushed and flossed her teeth and trimmed her nails. Hubby called, I thought you were going to bed. She said, I'm on the way. Then she put some water in the dog's dish. She put the cat out. She made sure the doors were locked. She looked in on each of her children and turned out one of the light lamps that had been left on. She stopped by her other child's bedroom, who was still working on some homework, see if she could help before she went to bed. In her room, she went in and set the alarm. She laid out clothing for the next day. She straightened up the shoe rack. She added three things to her to-do list for tomorrow. About that time, as she was getting ready to crawl into bed, the husband, who was just getting up to turn off the TV, said, I'm going to bed. And he did. Now, is that how things happen at your house? I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. But I tell you what, I have been recognizing over the years that moms are incredible. That's a great place for you husbands to say amen. That's a great place for you children to say amen. Let me ask a question. How many of you have a mom? It's just a wake-up call, okay? Anna Jarvis, who lived from 1864 to 1948, she was the first one to suggest that there would be a national observance of an annual day honoring all mothers, because she had loved her own mother so dearly. In the next few years, the idea gained popularity, and the first Mother's Day was observed in a number of large cities in 1914. In regards to history, that's not all that long ago. 1914. President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May to be Mother's Day. It was a time for public expression of love and reverence for mothers all over the country. Well, there was a 9-year-old, and she wrote, Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sundays. It would be better if it was on Monday, because then we could get off school. Well, as I think about Mother's Day, I am drawn to think about great mothers of the Bible. And just with me for a moment, would you stop and think, what great mothers of the Bible come to your mind? You don't need to speak them out, but let me just mention a few. There was the mother of Moses, a Levite woman, who loved her child so much she was willing to risk hiding him and taking care of him as he was hidden in the bulrushes. There was the mother of Samson, childless till there was a prophetic angelic encounter. There was the mother of Jesus, Mary, the Immaculate Conception, the challenge of trying to tell your friends that. There was the mother of Timothy, Eunice, recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Phil Weisenhardt said this about mothers. There is no greater place of ministry, position, or power than that of a mother. What a statement. There is no greater place of ministry, position, or power than that of a mother. Wow. I want to take a look today at a Mother's Day message. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. We're going to look at the mother Hannah. Specifically, consider the thought of being motherhood personified. Now, before we take a look at this, I would acknowledge, there is not much information about Hannah. But what we do know reveals that she was a special mother. Hannah, which means gracious or graciousness or favor. Hannah is where we get the name Ann or Anna. Hannah was one of two wives of Elkanah, a Levite. The other wife that he had was Peninnah, who picked on and taunted Hannah because she could not have children. And Hannah was favored by Elkanah because she could not have children. And the story of Hannah is an example of how the most unpleasant circumstance can produce a blessing to the world. Let's take a look here at Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, son of Elihu. We'll drop down to verse 2. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her. And the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. She made a vow, saying, 'O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said, 'How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine.' 'Not so, my Lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who's deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief.' Eli answered, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him.' She said, 'May your servant find favor in your eyes.' Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and they went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She called him Samuel, saying, 'Because I asked the Lord for him.'" Let's pause there in this story and look at some characteristics of a mother. Characteristics of a mother. I'd like you to notice, first of all, her sanctity. Her sanctity. From the record we have, Hannah was a woman with unblemished character. She was pious, she was devoted to God, and God obviously reigned in her heart. She was badgered and battered by Peninnah because of jealousy. What did Hannah do? Where did she go? She went to the house of the Lord and she cried out to the Lord. You know, a great mother always knows where her strength comes from. Her strength, her security, and her comfort all come from the Lord. Secondly, I notice her sorrow. It's probably safe to say that any woman who has ever been a mother has at some time in the journey of life gone through deep sorrow. There has been heartache, there has been pain, there has been difficulty, there have been challenges that seem overwhelming, and the hurdle seems too high to cross. But I see in this passage that she had great sorrow. She had a wonderful husband, but she could not have any children. In despair, Hannah went up to the house of the Lord and she cried out to God. She wept and she would not eat anything. Have there been times, mothers, when there has been a time of sorrow in your life where you haven't even wanted to eat? The only thing you felt like you could do was cry. You wanted to pull away to a quiet, private place. There seemed to be no one in your life that could bring the comfort that you needed. No one that could soothe or ease the pain that you were feeling deep inside your heart. Hannah knew sorrow. Hannah knew the pain of being childless. And some mothers experience the pain of being childless and not being able to have children. Other mothers experience the pain of being childless because their child becomes a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. And they go away. Some experience the pain of a broken relationship and the sorrow of separation where there is no contact and no communication. There is great sorrow in a mother's heart. I want you to notice next, though, there was great supplication. Her supplication. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and she prayed to the Lord. Why did she pray? Because she was teased. She was mocked. She was abused. She was irritated. She was childless. And although Hannah was childless, I want you to note something, mothers and dads. Although she was childless, she was not prayerless. And it was that prayerfulness that caused a great miracle to take place in her life. Hannah didn't pray against her adversary, but she prayed for a need that she had before God. But the next thing I noticed that there was an answer to her, and as a result of the answer to her prayer, there was a song that came to her heart. It says that in the next day there, in verses 19, as you look at that, it says, early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord. I find that unique to mothers. They can go through tremendous pain, tremendous sorrow. But when there is a ray of hope, a flicker of faith, there is a new song that rises up in a mother's heart. Hannah's prayer was answered, and a song broke forth from her lips. I notice next in this mother that we're looking today as an example and a model, there was her sacrifice. Any mother who has ever lived has given of herself. There has been a great sacrifice. But Hannah prayed and she said to the Lord, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And she kept her word. She was a mother who kept her promise. She was a woman of integrity. And Scripture says here in chapter 1 that when he was old enough and when he was weaned, she took him to the temple and dedicated him to the Lord. If you have your Bibles open, it's 1 Samuel. Notice with me, picking up at verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21. When the man Elkanah went up with his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boar is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, Elkanah, her husband told her. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli and said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I ask of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given to the Lord, and he will worship the Lord there. What an incredible sacrifice. Perhaps many mothers have come to the Lord in prayer and have offered up their son or their daughter in the place of prayer, saying, God, I give you my son, I give you my daughter. But has there ever been the extent of giving your child like Hannah gave her son? There was a great sacrifice. In the city of Chicago, in December of 1984, there was an incredible fire that tore through an apartment building. Firefighters discovered the bodies of a mother and five children huddled up in the kitchen of that apartment. They concluded that when the fire and the smoke started to sweep into her apartment, that this mother, realizing that there was no way that she could get all five out of the apartment, that she gathered together her children in a huddle and tried to cover them and protect them from the heat. Unfortunately, all of them died by smoke inhalation. The incredible sacrifice of a mother who will not only serve in the house and serve in the yard and serve at school and on, but a mother who will sacrifice her very life to lay down her life for her children. Samuel grew up with a wonderful mother, at least the influence of her. He wasn't around her. He encountered her once a year. For every year, she would create or prepare a coat, and she would bring it to the temple, and there she would give it to him to wear. Samuel grew up to reflect his mother's godliness. He became a man of prayer, and one of the characteristics of his life was to be a man of intercession, pleading before God for the people of Israel. Do you know something? That men who pray have mothers who prayed. Men who love God have mothers who have loved God's word and have loved God. Men who have character have mothers who have demonstrated integrity and character. No one in all the world is more fitted to guide little feet and shape little lives than a mother. Many scholars have concluded that you cannot understand John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement many years ago, unless you understand his mother, Susanna Wesley. Her godliness, her prayer life, her character, her spiritual devotion shaped her 17 children. And in the chaos of a home full of children, she even still then found a place to have a quiet time. And even I am challenged by Susanna Wesley, who in the middle of the day would take her apron and pull it up over her head and sit down on a chair. And when the children would come and see Mom with her apron up over her head, they knew they weren't supposed to bother her because she was having her quiet time with God. And her example and her model molded the heart of John and Charles Wesley. Charles, the great hymn writer whose hymns are still in our hymn books. John Wesley, as I said earlier, the founder of the Methodist movement, but the holiness movement, whose passion and heartbeat for accountability and discipleship still are part of the Church of Jesus Christ. The impact that the world is feeling today because of a godly mother. A London editor had gathered information regarding the teachers who had invested in Winston Churchill, and they submitted them to him for his approval. Churchill returned the list with this comment: "You have omitted the greatest teacher of my life, my mother." And so mother was added to the list of the greatest teachers. I don't know who said this, but I'm sure that you have heard it before. If you've not heard this, you certainly can understand it. It is a statement that says, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." And we could add or paraphrase that. The hand that holds the child, the hand that walks with the child, the hands that care for the child and minister to the child are the hands that shape the hearts and determine, to a great extent, the destination of the child.
Want to become the best mother you can be? Commit yourself fully to God. Surrender your children to Him. And then follow God's lead as He trusts you to raise your children in His presence. Now, a very special tribute to all mothers.
I think my mom is special because she makes great chocolate chip cookies and great hard candy.
My mom says that she made that God made me special, and she likes that.
I think my mom is special because she makes the best ginger snaps in the world.
A lot of times whenever I'm doing arts and crafts, she, even if she can't do it, she tries anyway.
I love my mom because she makes our meals and takes care of us.
My mom makes the best banana bread.
She always helps me whenever I'm making something.
I wanted to tell my mom that I think she works great at work.
I love my mom because she lets my friends come over.
I love my mom because she works very hard.
When I'm playing my saxophone, she, no matter how bad it is, she thinks it's really great.
When I look back on all the questions that I've asked her and she said no, I'll think back and say the day she made a good decision.
My mom is a person that will be there no matter what happens.
There's been times she's wanted to go to conferences on my birthday, but she stayed because she knew that it was my special day. I think my mom's the coolest mom in the whole entire world.
When I'm mad, she'll start laughing and making funny faces and try to cheer me up.
I want to tell my mom I love her.
I want to take my mom out and pay for dinner.
She'll go outside and ride dirt bikes with us and do all kinds of fun stuff. Whenever I'm doing piano and I can't figure something out, she'll help me, or if she can't figure something out, I'll help her.
I think of somebody that even though you might be going through something really, really hard, they try to help you as much as possible. Sometimes when, I'm going through something hard, like I might be getting braces or something like that, she tries to make it sound positive.
She makes homemade chocolate chip cookies.
She'll make brownies and let us lick out the bowl.